Y'all, this is Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese. And you guys, I got to go by myself today because Janae is not here. I hope she gets to feeling better. Janae, you're listening. We miss you. We need you back on the show. So hurry up and come back. But this is another great Sunday that we have here in the books. Actually, this is the first Sunday in, actually, the second Sunday in November, I imagine. Well, it's first Sunday in November. Yeah. And so, November already. I mean, the year is almost gone. We're talking turkey. I'm seeing Christmas trees already and Christmas lights and decorations. And I tell you, 2017 has been an adventurous year. It's time to start making those plans for 2018. So go ahead and get on par with that. But we're looking forward to the conversation here today. And, before I get there, I got to thank our fans that came out to the Old School Jam Friday night for the Fountain City Classic. Boy, did we have a good time. So thank you all who came out. It was great. We had a good time. Folks had a good time. And so each year we're planning on this getting bigger and bigger. So we look forward to you joining us next year as well. But today we're going to have a serious conversation here. We have with us here in the studio the parents of the young girl that experienced quite a dramatic event in one of our Muskogee County schools. This is the situation in which the teacher used the N-word in front of the student. We're going to try not to use it here on the radio today because it's painful enough already. And as a culture, you know, we're trying to get away from using that word. But we felt it was important to speak with the parents of those students, you know, just to hear their voice. And so that if there are any other parents out there that may be struggling with a situation that you want to address, maybe you can find some insight from the parents that we're going to have with us today. And we also have with us legal representation for those parents. They're being represented by Ms. Katanga Wright with the Wright Legal Group. So, hello, Katanga.
Hello, Teddy.
How are you?
I'm well, and I'm hoping Janae gets better soon. And
yeah.
She's out sick.
Yeah, we hope that she gets better very soon now.
You're going to do a good job.
You're representing the Fraziers, right?
Yes.
And we have the Fraziers here with us today.
We have the Fraziers here today, and also in the building are the Harvey family.
And we're going to speak with them a little later on. Right. So, in a way that doesn't jeopardize what was being done from a legal perspective, can you or the Fraziers explain exactly what happened from their perspective?
I'm going to let Mr. Frazier, who made the report initially and the complaint with the state Board of Certification for Teachers, to talk about how they got to that point of filing the complaint.
Okay.
And then we'll follow up with Ms. Frazier, who's going to talk about the counseling and how this has really affected their family and the things that they're having to deal with as a result of this horrible thing that our school district, unfortunately, has not taken as seriously as we would like them to.
Okay. All right, Mr. Frazier, how you doing again, sir?
I'm doing great, sir.
I'm doing great. Mr. Frazier, I just want to first say that I admire you as a father. As a man who is strong enough and willing to stand up for your children, I think that's very critical and important because oftentimes our young people feel that they have no support. But you and your wife both have shown her tremendous support throughout this process. And, you know, of course, this is an unbiased radio show, but I think I'm within my purview to say that, I admire you for that. So, if you don't mind, share with us what happened.
Well, on September the 1st, my daughter and the other young lady were in PE, and they were having a little conversation with a Caucasian girl. And the situation, they ended up talking about a little girl, little Caucasian girl. for her to just say, hey, you know, we're all the same, color doesn't matter. She said, well, at least she didn't refer to you as a dumb black N-word.
So that's when the teacher used the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it in the context of, at least she didn't refer to you as a...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that thing, she used the word, the other racial word, as in...
Negro. Like,
no, well, correct.
Okay, okay, okay.
And I she used that one,
She used the word. How did she use the word "crack" in the context of the conversation with the children?
I think that she used it to almost desensitize the situation to make it seem like, "Hey, I'm referring to both races." But
what was her words with using it?
At least she didn't call you a white cracker or dumb black N-word.
Okay.
And Teddy, I just want to follow up and say, you know, this has been couched as a teaching moment. And people have been constantly referring to this situation and the use of this type of language with these 9-year-old little girls as a teaching moment.
But what's the balance for education?
Well, the question that I want to know is what lesson plan does this fall under within her curriculum?
And whose parent consented to that?
Not these that I represent.
I mean, if that's the case, if that's the excuse that we're going to use, then, you know, there's a lot of things that can be considered teachable moments, you know. Potentially inappropriate touching can be considered a teaching moment. So, you know, when are we going to be using these broad, how often are we going to use these broad excuses as to what's teachable and what's not? And I understand your frustration as a parent, because the question should be, you know, what's reasonably acceptable?
Well, you know, we keep having these conversations about words like this because adults choose to interject them and teach their children these types of phrases and the use of them. That is not acceptable. It is absolutely unacceptable for a teacher to introduce racial slurs in what she wants to later couch as a teachable moment. That is BS, and what the school district is feeding my clients is also a bunch of crap.
Well, so who did your daughter, who did she tell this to first?
She told it to me.
Okay, so Mr. Frazier, she told this to you first.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to the audience here how your daughter had that conversation with you.
Well, normally she gets in the car and she's quite energetic. She talks a lot. But that particular day, she was a little bit quieter than what she normally is. And I said, what's up? How was your day? And she said it was okay. And then she started talking a little bit about the situation. And she told me about the little girl. Of course, that didn't alarm me when she spoke to me about the little girl, because I'm like, hey, that's learned behavior. You know, that's something that maybe she heard at home or just from someone close to her. But it really got my attention when she said, but this is what Miss Connolly said. And I made her say it at least 4 times to me. I was like, baby, did she say it that way? She said, yes.
How did you feel as a father hearing that the daughter that you and your wife birthed and raised and has worked to instill certain values and usage of certain words and understanding boundaries and parameters, how did that make you feel that another adult introduced that word to your child in a form that I guess is supposed to be excusable because it's a teachable moment?
Well, I mean, of course, I mean, I was highly upset by it, but my initial, I guess the way I felt initially about it was I was more so shocked. I was like, is this really happening in 2017? Are we dealing with this type of thing now with an educator who's supposed to be really teaching our children, you know, the right things, but she's exposing them to some other things such as this racial stuff, man. And I was just in utter shock at first. Just with time, you know, after it really sunk into my mind of what really happened,
fathers and mothers have a very special relationship. And as a mother, I can only imagine that you would spend a lot of time with your daughters making sure that essential skills are taught to your daughter, and that she becomes the young woman that you think she's capable of becoming in society, with no boundaries, you know, with the capability of being who she wants to be, not being confined or restrained based on historical events of this country, or things that gave rise to the usage of that word anyway, you know, and I'm sure there's a protection bubble that you've had around her. How did you feel when your husband contacted you and shared with you what had transpired? Tell us, what were you doing and how did it hit you?
Shocked as well, because I was actually really shocked. If I was like, "Are you sure?" You know, because it's like, no, not she wouldn't say that. You wouldn't think that that would come out of an educator's mouth. Not anybody this day and time when you're dealing with my children. So I was like, "Well," after the shock left instantly, I got on the phone immediately. So I called the school district. I called the school first, knowing nobody was there, but I didn't care. I just had to talk to somebody. So I called the school district and spoke with the secretary, let her know what had happened. And I said, well, I know I have to follow protocol and speak with the principal. I am going to do that. I just needed to let somebody know in authority what happened. So that was a holiday that Monday. So that's when that Tuesday is when we were up to the school letting them know what happened. But I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Have you ever been called that word in your life by someone else in a derogatory way?
I have.
How did you feel then?
Oh, it was really bad. I was in a Christian band, so it didn't go so well. But it wasn't a good feeling.
So I'm sure couched in that was you thinking, my daughter is she's defenseless.
Yes.
She can't protect herself.
Yes.
And here this verbiage is being forced on my daughter. And I'm not there to protect her.
Yes, all of that. Yes, that it was just, I'm like, really? You had to experience that and to be opened up to that from an educator, somebody that you trust. My child is with you majority of the day, so I'm trusting you that you're going to do what's right. And for her to be opened up to something like that, and that immediately Harmony recognized that this is wrong. You know, so I'm glad that we've instilled those qualities and those, you know, the substance in her, you know, those type of things in her that she understands.
I'm sure it validated the parenting that you two have attempted to instill over the years.
Yes.
The fact that she recognized instantly this wasn't right and I need to inform my parents.
Yes.
How do you feel about the proposal of the school district with the zero tolerance policy that they're mulling over right now and trying to get to a point of passage and policy? How do you feel about that?
I was actually very pleased and happy that they would even try to put something in place. John Thomas and Frank Myers, they both, you know, just been a lot of help, and, you know, I'm very grateful for it. Something needs to be put in place. It's shocking that nothing was put in place. Well, they're saying something was put in place, but the zero tolerance wasn't put on it. So I'm like, why? How could you tolerate something like this? Why wouldn't something be in place? If you have bullying, zero tolerance for bullying in place, why don't you have something in place for something such as this?
So you've spoken to Frank Myers and John Thomas? Have you had a conversation with them?
Yeah, with Frank Myers, you know, at the rally or whatever. He showed up at the rally and showed his support for us.
Have you spoken with any other school board members? That's silence. Okay. Have you received an official apology?
No apology.
I can't hear you.
No apology. No apology at all. None whatsoever.
No one has apologized.
Well,
when we did, when we went to the first board meeting to express our concerns, Kia Chambers openly apologized to us that day. But
from the administration, people that are paid with our tax dollars, you didn't get any of them.
No.
We received a phone call from David Lewis a month later, and still no apology.
Yeah, and it was really just to try to brush it over
to meet with him. And yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it. But no apology. No formal apology at any time, no.
Right. Wow. Have you seen some of the social media coverage on this? Has that impacted you as individuals reading some of the social media coverage and the comments on the news stories?
Yeah, but one of the things that I told my wife from the very beginning, I said, don't read those comments because the comments, there's some pretty crazy people in this world. You know, many of them don't see the damage that really goes on. They don't see the damage of what really happened in the situation.
So what's been keeping you guys going? Like you know, because at any moment, I'm sure you could say we can pull away from this and not have to deal with this pressure, not have to deal with being talked about. What keeps you going, Mr. Frazier?
Well, I guess it's just the fact that we know that this is so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with the help of God, you know, he's given us strength to just continue to pursuing this, because I'm not that type of person. I'm not a very confrontational type person, mm-hmm. but this is my child,
right?
You know, and being that this is my child and this is our child, we can't just sit back and let this happen and they just feed us a bunch of crap and we think that and just feel that's
right.
Okay.
What keeps you going, Ms. Frazier?
As a mother, you know, this right here, I was like, oh, no, this can't go away and not be dealt with. And I've noticed that since we've came forward, other parents have come forward saying, hey, you know, I had a situation that happened with my child, and, you know, I wasn't brave enough to come forward and say anything. And, you know, some people may not even feel like they're worthy enough to come forward, you know, because you have different backgrounds, you have different upbringings, and they feel like they don't have enough to even come forward. But I'm here today to stand. You can come forward, say something, stand up for what's right, because that's what we're here for. We're for what's right, because that's the point. We're not here to bring commotion and of division and confusion. We want it from the beginning. We wanted the right thing done, and we've asked for that from the beginning. And that's all we're here for. Do what's right.
Well, wow. Well, Frazier, I just want to say to you as a husband and wife couple, to see you two together, kind of you instantly see the love that you have in your family and the connection that you two have with each other. And I have no doubt that your children are being raised in a solid Christian-based household that's focused on teaching them what's right, that's focused on teaching them how to respect others, that's focused on making sure they understand their history so that things don't be repeated. And again, I admire your parental skills, because there's so many of our young people out there with parents that don't care, that are not involved in their lives. You know, they can hear this type of language all the time around them. And I admire you for wanting to protect your child. I would protect mine, too, and I don't believe there's a person in Columbus or this nation that would not want to protect their own children if they had the ability to do so. So I just want to thank you, and thank you for being here today. And this is Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Harleys. We're going to have a quick conversation with them as well. Their daughter was also involved in the same incident, and we want to hear their perspective. We want to hear how it's impacted their families. We'll be right back. Make sure you stay tuned in. All right, welcome. welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese. And we have with us here today the Frazier family and the Harley family. We just heard from the Frazier family. We're going to jump right in with the Harley family. I have here Mr. and Mrs. Harley with us. Their daughter was also involved in the incident. She was the second African-American child that was there when those comments were made by the teacher at the Muskogee County School District. Mr. Harley, how did you learn about the event?
I learned about the event on that day that my daughter walked into my home. She seemed very disturbed. She was crying. And as I looked at her, I said, what's wrong? And she said that my teacher today said to me that I should be glad that one of my classmates did not call me a black nigger. And I looked at her and I said,
your daughter came home crying.
Yes.
So she was emotionally disturbed.
Yes.
And as a father, I'm sure that alarmed you instantly.
Absolutely.
What is wrong with my child?
Absolutely.
And when your child conveyed that a teacher had forced her to be this upset, how did that make you feel?
At that moment, I began to reinforce the self-love to my daughter. Let her understand that even though she said that you're not black and you're not a nigger. And I began to let her know, to help her understanding that if the teacher would say something like that to her, that's just something that her teacher has in her mindset, or the mindset that she has based on her color or her upbringing. That's what I said to my daughter. And I said it was racist. And I said, you're growing up in a society where you're going to be labeled, but that's not who you are.
Now, Mr. Harley, I watched your interview on TV, and one of the questions that was asked was, do you believe in second chances, or do you believe in giving someone a break when they've made a mistake? What was your response to that again?
Well, growing up in a country where you're taught Christianity, you're taught to forgive others when they're wrong, you're turning the other cheek, I think everybody should be given a second chance to apologize or ask for forgiveness if you wrong someone intentionally.
Right.
So what I was saying to my daughter or to my family, that we were had the benefit of our heart of doubt that this teacher would come back and present herself to my child and recognize as an adult that was an inappropriate way to display her example of color or race or your point of view. And that's what I meant by a second chance. In my heart, being Christ-like or being Christian, principles I've been taught is that when you wrong someone, acknowledge that wrong and ask for forgiveness.
Was it acknowledged?
No, sir.
Was forgiven asked for?
No, sir.
By no one?
No, sir.
To this day?
To this day, no, sir.
Do you feel that the teacher had an opportunity to tell your daughter that she was sorry?
Absolutely, because I sent my daughter right back to school where my wife and I were very upset, but at the same time, I wanted my daughter to understand you have to live in a society and don't be afraid to stand up to different challenges.
Right.
Or things that you stand for. So the next day I sent my daughter back to school when my wife wanted to take her out to school, make her stay home. I said, no, she's going to go back to class. And that teacher would get an opportunity that I was hoping that she would come to my daughter and say, I'm very sorry, that was inappropriate.
So the compassion that people on social media and commenting on these news stories, the compassion and turning the other cheek that people say that you guys should do, it's your place that you did that.
Absolutely.
And you got nothing out of it.
Absolutely.
How do you feel, Mr. Harley? Ms. Harley, come to you in a second. How do you feel, Mr. Harley, about the administration's and the school board's response to this thus far?
It's saddens me because it shows that in our society today, our children are still facing what we call, I would call it my heart, where you're still being labeled or you're still being categorized. In my heart, like I told my daughter, I said, you will continue growing up in a society, but it's most important that you know who you are and learn who you are. So it still grieves me to this point. Even right now, it grieves me because the school board, people that are in charge, administrators, you know, for some teacher to do that to a child at that age should be take some type of responsibility. And someone should see that some type of accountability and responsibility is held up or done something to help our community understand that we're not categorized or we're treated indifferent.
Now, the official response is that what we've seen from the Muskogee County School District publicly is that they've taken the teacher out of the classroom, they've reassigned her to the district, and I'm not sure what the variation was in the salary range there, but I don't think she lost any money.
No.
I don't think she lost any money from that perspective.
No, she didn't lose any money. In fact, it's kind of looked upon as if she got somewhat of a promotion. Not having to deal with kids every day and being in a cushy job at the admin building, in our opinion, is not a punishment at all.
Right. And Attorney Wright, we've also witnessed the school board representative stating at school board meetings, even though there are a couple that objects to this, that the school board only has the authority to hire and fire the superintendent. Do you think from your interpretations of the state laws that you've read that that is the extent of the reach of the school board, that they have no say-so as it relates to individuals once you get below the superintendent?
Well, I'm going to say it like this. If the school board can hire and fire the superintendent and the superintendent doesn't adhere to the wishes of the school board, then they have the power to fire him. It was very telling reading the article about Eddie Powell and how he talked about being told that he needed to fire a teacher or else he would be fired. The same kind of pressure that Mr. Powell had is the same kind of pressure the school board should put on Mr. Lewis. We are beyond the point of having people in power take for granted the votes of the people. And if people who are sitting on the school board are not going to listen to the citizens of Columbus, then there are ways to handle that. And we should send a message that we're not going to tolerate them just doing a rubber stamp to everything that the superintendent wishes or wants. And I like Mr. Lewis, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular instance, I think he didn't do enough. And I think he could have gone a lot further. And I think the school board, when he didn't go that far, should have taken it into their own hands.
Well, I think the best people to have around you are the ones that will tell you when you're, in their opinion, when you are right and when you are wrong.
Amen.
If you got people around you that's always going to check and rubber stamp what you do, then that's problematic. Ms. Harley, I just want to speak with you real quick here. I first want to say that I admire your strength throughout this process. I know there's a special bond between a mother and a daughter. And unfairly, you've even been attacked. You know, folks want to talk about your hair and what you wore and things of that nature. When I think your hair is a beautiful expression of who you are. And you have a right to wear your hair any way you want to wear it. And I applaud you for having your individuality and not feeling that you have to go along with the crowd and fit in with everyone else. Your husband stated here very shortly that your first move was you wanted to take your daughter out of the school. Why did you feel that way?
Well, first I wanted to take her out of the school because I understood the way the system is, and I understand how some administrators and those that are in higher position would typically look at us as individuals as not being who we really are or as if we are anything at all. So I didn't want her to have to deal with the emotional or the mental impact behind it and put her in an environment that can be more of a learning and safe environment for her.
both, Mr. and Ms. Harley, you articulate yourself very well. You have been professional throughout this entire process. You haven't resulted to name calling that we oftentimes see on the national level about all the president. You know, so the fact that you have stayed above the fray to me speaks volume, and I think it's reflective of the type of household that your daughter was raised in. And it should give people some sign of the genuineness of the parents. And I appreciate that from you. And I think people all over Columbus appreciate you for standing up for your child and being a strong voice. And as we get ready to close out here, I do want to just give you the final word and saying, ultimately, how's your family doing now? And what do you want to see happen that we have yet to see happen?
Well, ultimately, we have dealt with some emotional and mental trauma, anxiety, depression, irritability, lack of interest. But with time, with counseling and the support from the community, family members, friends, I'm sure that we will get through it. But what I would like to see happen is I would like to see justice. I would like to see fairness. I would like to see the situation being handled for what it is worth. Because if the shoe was on the other foot, had it have been an African-American teacher dealing with a Caucasian student, she wouldn't have had a chance. She would have been let go immediately. There wouldn't have been a board meeting. They wouldn't have listened to the media or the citizens. It would have just been, you know, book closed, that's it. So I really would like to see justice be served. We're in a country that says, you know, liberty and justice. Where's the justice in this situation?
Wow. Mr. Harley, Ms. Harley, again, with Mr. and Mrs. Frazier, I appreciate both of you, both couples, both set of parents, all four of you, for spending the time out to share with people all over Columbus that are listening to this radio broadcast what you have endured, what you and your family is going through, what you expected, what hasn't happened, what you would still like to see happen. You have a right to speak your voice. You have a right to raise your concern. And when we decide as a society that individual voices are no longer valid, the question we should ask ourselves is, when will my voice be ignored? That's been Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese. I want to thank you for listening with us, and I want to thank the Harleys and the Fraziers for coming in. Listen to us each and every Sunday right here at the same time, same station. You don't want to miss us. This is Sunday Conversation with Janae Renee and Teddy Reese. Thank you.